All right, so what's up, man?
Oh, not much.
So, Quinn, I wanted to get into, let's just get into it. So is Quinn, are you guys, what are you guys doing? Are you going to be doing any shows soon?
Yeah, we have a couple shows coming up. And,
sweet.
Yeah, we're doing some recording in June. Possibly two different releases.
Oh, okay. Where at? Or where you're recording.
Yeah. Actually, I live with an audio engineer, Brett Seiler.
Oh, that's awesome.
His studio's in our house. So we're just going to, I'm just going to sleep in and wake up and go into my basement and play some music.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, that's like the best setup, man.
Yeah, it works out.
And he's like kind of, I don't know if the word legend, I don't know if he would like the word legendary, but I mean...
He would.
I mean, I mean, what other word describes his, like, presence in the music scene around here, you know? He's, like, pretty pretty historied around here, you know?
Yeah, he's... His bands I've enjoyed since I was, you know, like, 14, you know, starting to go to shows and whatever. Like, one of the first bands that really, like, caught my ear and just ripped it the fuck off was his old band Gratis, and then he had a band called Stationary Odyssey.
That's the one I'm more familiar with.
And we ended up playing a bunch of shows together early Quinn days, and the guy's great.
He's gonna record it, which is great. He's recorded a lot of good stuff from around here. He recorded. I noticed that Reed Chancellor from Scandalmongers did a solo thing. I think it was last year it came out, and that was really good. And Brett recorded that. Just a lot of fucking awesome bands from around here.
Yeah.
He recorded Quinn. He recorded some of your shit too,
our
right?
EP. He also did the both of Stella's albums.
Oh, right.
One of the Aquarian Sun albums that came out last year. He recorded. SOL's last EP. He's done a lot of good work.
Definitely. Did you see his performance last night?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was totally improv, it seemed like.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome. And he was just kind of wailing. That was pretty great. I've noticed he's like, which, I mean, this is very obvious if you see him, but he's just like super noise oriented, it seems like. But in like not, I don't know if that doesn't do it justice, but
yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, he's into like harsher things, like metal and noise and things like that. He likes some pretty intense music, so it definitely comes out in his work.
Yeah, yeah. What's his project now? Is it Plasticizer? Is that his thing?
Plasticizer. Yeah. He started that a while ago. And our friend Mark O'Cummings started doing like harsh electronics with him live.
Okay.
It's really fucking cool.
He was there last night as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about Experimental Open Mic Night, number 20 at PG. There was a lot of good stuff last night.
Yeah, Mark is awesome too. His whole modular synth and all that, he does a bunch of... Much cool work.
Yeah, that was really interesting. It was like, it's just, I don't know. When every time I go to PG, pretty much, for a show, there's something unconventional going on, and that's always awesome. It's always something new.
Yeah.
The venue kind of lends itself to that, as far as you could go one night and see metal, or the next night and see hip-hop.
Yeah.
Which is great, which is something that Evansville's needed for a long time, I feel like.
Definitely.
So how do you, let's get into this a little bit, before I'm sure we could go off on tangents, but, just to keep it, at least focused at the beginning, how do you feel about the music scene? Zach Evans of the Courier and Press, he did like a musical column for a little while, And he said that he thought, and this was like a year or two ago, he said that he thought that our music scene was on the precipice of kind of like, I don't know, breaking through into something that it hasn't been for a long time. Do you feel that way about it?
Yeah, I've always held a little bit of hope for this place, you know. I don't know if it's like being from here or something, and just like growing up weird, and like there's always been something there to kind of like influence others, you know. It's at least had enough going on to where kids don't just hate it here. There's something to do. Like there's always like some influential people around doing something worth a shit, you know. And it's really, yeah, there just seems to be kind of a little expansion in that. Like a lot of people are trying to do more things.
Do you I don't know, I think it's different venues around town kind of have different, they fill a different like niche. Like Lamasco is kind of known as like the jam band bar, you know.
Yeah.
And then PG is just kind of whatever it happens to be that night, but PG is usually some, in some way it's like an independent spirit, whatever it is being performed. And then like Sortie has a bunch of different stuff going on, and I don't know, I like that there are several different venues around town. And I feel like it hasn't always been that way.
No, it definitely hasn't. Like, that's one thing that's helped, you know. I don't really consider, like, for me and what I do, I don't really mess with the whole, like, bar scene, bar culture kind of.
Yeah.
Like, I stay out of it. I don't like it. I don't drink. That probably helps, you know. But, like, that kind of knocks out. That's always kind of made my options a little, I don't know what the word, I have less options.
Yeah.
As far as like playing live, I can't just go and like make noise at Lamasco or something. People will fucking kill you. I don't know. it's weird. It's always,
you know, any Grateful Dead songs, boy?
Yeah. It's always been a weird place to live and do something different, which PG has been great for that.
Kind of a godsend for that spirit, you know.
Yeah.
They've been around 3 years now?
Yeah.
3 years? That's something, man, that it could stay open that long, and it's always, I mean, ever since its beginning, it's always been a pretty hopping place at times. Like, yeah. You know, not every show is packed, but the Thunder Dreamer played a few weeks ago with Charms Warman from Tell City. And I went to that show. You couldn't even get into that back room. You couldn't even see Stephen Hamilton at all because of all the people in there.
Yeah.
So, people can pack places. And the Hatch used to be a big thing for a minute. And now that's kind of, that's a recording studio now, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I have that right? So there's a lot of, I don't know, it's kind of been this weird like evolution of, you know, because Wired used to be the biggest thing in independent music around here, you know?
Right.
And then it kind of, now they do just occasional shows, right?
Yeah.
So how do you, Quinn is, you know, going to be doing shows pretty soon. Would that be a PG? Is that what you're, or at least one of them?
I'm blanking out right now. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're playing the Masquerade. Whatever that is.
Mesker Park Music Fest.
Yeah, thing. We're doing that. Pretty sure we have a show at PG. And possibly a house show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those don't happen as much anymore either.
Yeah.
It's kind of disappointing.
I think we're gonna have at least one at our house in the next couple months.
Okay, cool.
Actually, no. Shit. We're having one in, like, 2 weeks.
Oh, shit,
actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Quinn is playing it with a band from Bowling Green called Alone.
Oh, okay.
And they're excellent band. We're going to play a couple shows with them, and that's part of what we're recording for, is for a split with those guys.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Bowling Green kind of out of nowhere. Like when I was the local music director at The Edge, at USI, I found several like bands from Bowling Green that were two pieces, that were guitar and drums. I'm blanking on the names right now.
Probably Small House.
Yep, Small House 16. Was one of them, and 16 was the other one. Yeah,
those are awesome dudes. Yeah, those bands, really good bands. We did a small tour with Small House.
Yeah,
Bowling Green is pretty consistent. There's always a band or two there that is worth listening to.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome that something, you know, something that, like, I don't know, when I first heard Small House, was like so refreshing to hear guitar parts like that. Just like, man, these dudes are insanely good.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. I like hearing it. I don't know. I like hearing something fresh, which you don't, especially like you said, the bar scene is kind of despicable around here, as far as like the cover bands and the only cover bands. Like,
yeah,
I get if you learn covers to fill your setup, but goddamn, some of them it's just like,
yeah,
Nickelback and shit.
It's that I don't like the whole jam band hippie thing either, so there's not really a bar I can stand.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't know, it depends on the band at Lamasco, like whether I'm gonna have a good time.
Yeah.
If it, I don't know. Sometimes some of the out-of-town bands they get there are pretty awesome. I've seen a few bands I was super impressed with. I don't know. There's a lot of cynicism around these parts about our music scene. I've seen a lot of people like on Facebook that are like, well, I'm heading to indie and like all sure, this shit. And it's sure. Like, come on, man. Like,
oh, no, I love it here. Actually moving for a little bit, but the plan, I'm going to come back. So,
yeah.
So,
oh, where are you going?
I'm moving to Texas for a little while.
Okay.
Basically just so I can, like, get out of debt.
Oh, yeah?
Live with my parents and, like, yeah, just kind of...
I see.
Be able to do something when I get back here.
I see. That's cool. So facilitating the future, kind of?
Yeah.
That's cool. Are you going to try to get into, going to try to do anything musical while you're down there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would go nuts if I didn't. I see. A couple friends in the area where I'm moving to that I'm going to play some tunes with and see what happens.
Cool.
Start a band while I'm down there.
Yeah. When is that happening? When are you?
June.
Oh, okay. So pretty soon.
Yeah.
So then these Quinn shows are, like, coming up, and then you're... Mm-hmm. I see. Is Quinn's drummer, and I've just been blanking on names today.
Actually, Reed Chancellor's playing drums for us now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see. I don't know why I can't remember the name of your old drummer, who's Corey. Now Thunder Dreamer's drummer,
yeah,
right?
Corey Green.
Corey. God damn it. That's fucking with me. Yeah. I've talked to him in Guitar Center I don't know how many times. So.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy.
He's a nice dude.
So that's cool. You got Reed Chancellor. I've heard he's like, someone told me he's doing something with Wired. I can't verify that, and I may be talking out of my ass, but somebody told me he's doing something with Wired where, I don't know, he's kind of gonna help get it going again.
I know he was trying to do something a while ago. I'm not sure if he's still working on that or not.
Oh, really?
Really? Yeah.
I see. I just thought, like, who better to, you know,
do
that than him? So I thought it would, you know, that seems like it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a cool guy as well. I had him at the Edge. I haven't had him on the Tri-State Space Program yet. Obviously he's still doing music, but is he doing anything else?
I can't think of what he's doing right now.
Because, I mean, Scandalmongers are no more, right?
No, he's playing drums in Quinn. He does stuff occasionally with other projects.
That's pretty... I would suspect he would stay productive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, At least on a certain level.
Vinyl project, too.
Right, yeah. Is he doing a second one? Is that going to happen?
And we've talked about it.
Oh, so you're in on... Yeah, so that's
I was just kind of on the thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't have much to do with it.
I see.
But, yeah.
So, Are you in any other bands other than Quinn? Do you have any other projects?
Yeah, I have an electronic project called Speedwalking with Seamus.
Okay.
And I have a more harsh, kind of a noisy punk band called Bookstore. It's fast. It's kind of grindy.
Okay. Kind of Who else is in that band?
Alex Walwork and okay. Micah Jordan.
I see.
Yeah, three piece.
You're playing guitar, I'm assuming?
Yep.
Cool. Is there vocals in it?
Yeah.
And you're doing them?
Yeah.
I'm assuming?
Yeah, there's. Alex has a song.
Okay.
But, yeah, so far it's just been me.
I see. I saw, I'm trying to think now. I guess it was like 2 years ago now. I saw you guys play with Scandalmongers for their album release show. And that was a killer show. Yeah. I don't know, it was just like the right night for it. And
yeah.
There was a bunch of cool ass people there. That was a great, great fucking show. I don't know, that's one of the shows I look back on, I'm like, that was a badass show to attend. I'm so glad I did. They were releasing Endangered, I think, that night.
Yeah.
Which was a great fucking record. I've listened to it since. Like, I found it and listened to it again. Reed's a fucking hell of a songwriter, man.
Like, yeah, yeah.
He's just a hell of a musician in general. So you guys are playing Mesker Fest. Which stage are you playing?
PG's
okay.
thing.
I see.
I don't know, it doesn't really seem fitting. But whatever, it's fine. We're playing with a bunch of, like, acoustic-y, like...
Oh, okay.
Softer side.
Are you guys playing toward the end?
Yeah, kind of in the middle.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so it's just going to be weird. but whatever.
I don't think so. I'll be there all day, so I'll try to catch your set.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun day, I think, just walking around. 51 bands. I mean, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
There's some hip-hop guys from Louisville. I don't know if you've heard of them yet. Well, their whole thing is called Embrace the Hate. They're like collective, and it's three guys. But then the two guys that are probably more productive are called Wristwork. And one of them is called Forrest Gumption, which is a cool name. And the other one is Bob Getz. They are like some of the best hip hop artists I've heard in a long time. Like, just, it's really, I don't know, it kind of has like a Odd Future vibe, but it's not really like that. They're doing their own thing.
Yeah.
But it's just offensive like that, you know, they just spout a bunch of shit, and it's really, good rhyming and everything. They're from Louisville, they're going to be there on the hip-hop stage. I'm not sure who's putting that one on, but anyway. Fucking, have you heard anything recently that really just, I don't know, anything around here that you were like, God damn, this is awesome? that you would recommend, I guess, would be a good way to put it.
I'm a big Aquarian Sun fan.
Yeah.
Like, that's definitely one of my favorite bands in town right now, or just in general. Like, I listen to their records a lot.
How many do they have?
Two. They recorded two albums last year.
Okay. Sweet.
Yeah.
Super productive.
Yeah. It's really good work.
That's awesome. Last night at the open mic, you did some stand up. Is that something you like? And I've heard you do stand up before at PG at open mics and stuff. Have you ever done like a full set or anything? Or
yeah. I don't know. I just kind of wanted to keep it short last night.
Yeah.
Just kind of new material. I just kind of ran through or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't like doing the same thing at the same place, you know.
Right,
too
right.
Much, you know? So, yeah, that's the thing that I've been doing past year or so.
Okay. It's pretty funny. You had an abortion joke that was really funny. I actually, me and the girl I took, we talked about it afterwards. She was like, I noticed she was like dying laughing. She likes abortion jokes, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I know a lot of people who don't, but who doesn't within my, circle of friends?
Right.
But yeah, so how have you ever recorded any of it? Ever taken video of your stand-up or anything?
No. I've thought about like recording like a set somewhere, but I just never do it.
Yeah,
I don't know why. Yeah,
you should, man. You've got a really like funny demeanor about you that kind of kind of lends itself to your humor. Like it all, you know, fits together.
Right.
I was trying to like. I remember there was an open mic, a comedy open mic, a long time ago at PG. Probably it might have been around a year ago, and you told a few jokes at it. And I remember, I can't remember the guy's name. There's that one guy who would come into PG every so often, and well, every time he came into PG, he was pretty fucked up, and I don't know what on. I mean, it could have been weed and alcohol for all I know, but or it could have just been alcohol. But he was sitting on. I remember him. He was sitting on the stool. And he was, like, half falling asleep and, like, laughing at himself. And he didn't even tell a joke. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
That night.
No. That guy's one of my favorite people. That he makes me laugh really hard.
He was funny. He did tell a few jokes. And then he went back up a second time and then didn't. Like, he just laughed at himself.
Yeah.
I guess at what he was thinking. Is there anybody else in the area that you like, you know, that are doing stand up that you would recommend? Like,
Well, I don't know. I haven't really gotten too into the comedy scene around here. It's kind of weird. I just kind of been telling jokes at rock shows.
Yeah.
Which goes over pretty well.
Yeah.
There's this thing called Rotten Plots.
Oh, yeah,
which
yeah.
is a few dudes. They do a thing every few months. It's like an improv, like kind of like Whose Line Is It Anyway? Like, here's a scenario.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are these people. And they're really good.
Yeah. That's awesome. I've seen that on Facebook. I never have been able to make it to one.
Yeah.
One of their shows, but I have seen it.
It's good. I did a few minutes before the first show they had at Re-Raw, and it was a really good show. I guess they sold out the upstairs or whatever, and they were great. It was good.
That's cool. Re-Raw is one place that kind of randomly will have like some. Like a badass show, one like you just, you know, you don't see it coming. Have you heard Super Trash from Owensboro?
Yeah,
pretty good. They have a pretty solid. They opened for us at the upstairs in the Jangle Sheep. They opened for us at Re-Raw one night. That was pretty cool. That upstairs room just weirdly has pretty cool like acoustics in it, I think. I don't know if you ever played at Re-Raw, and I know you said you really don't play the band and play the bars, but that's one bar that will have indie rock every so often.
They kicked us out.
What?
Yeah, just too noisy, too loud.
What, really?
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
That is weird, because we were super loud.
You would think they would listen to what they're booking before they,
right.
You know, I don't know. But whatever.
Yeah. That's funny. I don't know, you would think an Irish pub wouldn't really care. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's stereotypical, I don't know. I don't know, that's one thing I really like about the area is now we kind of have these like independent, like spirited people that are coming out of the woodwork and like throwing shows and just making shit happen. And that's what we needed for a long time. I mean, you've been in the music scene for long enough that you saw it. And I say this, and some people don't like it, but it did happen. Like, we had, like, Boney Junes. We had 1123 and Boney Junes. I wasn't around for 1123, but I've heard enough people talk about it that I have, a vague sense of what it was like. And then you had, like, the quote-unquote scene music, you know, at there and at Boney Junes. And then that kind of... It kind of died, like the scene kind of died for a minute, and then it's been slowly like climbing back up. I feel like we are kind of I think a precipice is a good way to put it. I think Zach Evans put it the correct way, that it's I don't know. I'm not saying Evansville is going to be Portland or anything,
right.
But you know, we're right here in the middle of these, like, a bunch of big cities, so it's kind of cool to be a band in Evansville, because you can just go to Nashville or go to Louisville or go to Indy, Bloomington.
Sure.
So it's nice that we're kind of right in the middle of all this shit, but at the same time, you can't get as many people from Evansville to come out.
Yeah, it's easier to get overlooked being around other cities. Like, I was booking shows at PG for a while and trying to get bands to come here on tour was pretty difficult, considering, you know, all the other cities around us that they could probably have a, you know, better attendance at or whatever, you know.
What kind of bands did you have? What bands were successful? Like, what bands actually did come?
I had a couple shows that I was really pretty enthused with how. There was a rapper called Blueprint. That came through, and that was the first time they really had that kind of attendance at PG. It was just, it was around 180 people paid to get into that show.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. I saw that, actually. That wasn't that long ago, right?
Yeah, it was a few years ago. Well, I guess it was, it was probably in the first year they were open.
Oh, really? I wanted to, there was another rap or hip-hop thing, or there was a hip-hop thing this year that I saw that it looked like a lot of people were attending, but now I can't remember any of the names.
One of my favorite rappers is actually coming. He's going to be here on the 30th.
Oh, really?
This month.
Who?
Soul.
Okay.
He helped form Anticon Records, was in Deep Puddle Dynamics. His solo albums are amazing. And it's actually, it's a weird bill because it's him and his DJ, and then he wanted to play with, like, noise punk bands, noise, like, weird, harsh shit.
Yeah.
And so Plasticizer's playing it. My band Bookstore is on the bill, too.
That's awesome.
So it's going to be a weird one, but, like, I'm stoked to even see the guy, like, play a show.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
By the way, we're doing this on Main Street, and people will randomly try to walk in while we're recording right now, and so that's the talking you're hearing in the background. I remember, when did Quinn form? Do you remember the year?
Two thousand seven.
Yeah. So I remember you guys when the Internet Cafe was, you know.
I mean, yeah, we played some shows at 1123. Like, we've been around for, yeah. When, I mean, 1123 came about when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of like, I saw that, you know, happen, whatever. So that was a big part of, like, my start in all this, really. Was a big influence on it. Then you're right, there was a period, you know, I think every city has that where, you know, there's a thriving scene and then it just dies down, but then, you know, people move, it happens in more transient places, like college towns and shit like that, you'll notice it. It's nice that people are kind of sticking around now, but, what was the question?
I'm blanking.
I lost track of what I...
No, it was just about Quinn. About when Quinn started. Yeah.
I mean, I was living in Nashville, and, yeah, I've been friends with Steve Hamilton in high school, and, we had some songs, and we just started playing guitar together. And then I moved back, that summer, 2007, I'm pretty sure. And we started playing with Corey. I went through a series of bassists, and now I have a totally different lineup, but we have kind of a solid sound down that we've had over the past few years with Alex, Kenny, and James. guitars and bass playing with me.
Yeah.
And Reed joined last year in the fall, and he's been great doing the whole drumming thing. I've written a few songs with him, and it's going pretty well, I think.
That's awesome. Point,
yeah.
That does sound like a good lineup of people, especially for what I can frame in my mind as what Quinn sounds like, you know. Because I've heard the, is it Into Sessions, is that what it's called?
Into Seasons.
Into Seasons.
Yeah.
Damn it. I was close. I remember listening to that EP, and I played, I think, two songs off of it at the Edge pretty often. And I remember hearing that, like, it's, I don't know, I like the way the songs aren't, there's really nothing super orthodox about them. And it was refreshing to hear that like, you know, I don't know how to put it, like, that music doesn't have to be, doesn't have to fit in this box of verse, chorus, song structure, or
right.
Just like, it doesn't always have to sound the most pretty. Like, harsh sounds have their place too.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I liked about it a lot. It was, I don't know, it was always, like, you guys have always been around, like, Quinn has always been, like, you always see, for the last, well, like, almost 10 years now, you'll just see every so often, like, on Facebook, or
yeah.
It became Facebook, I guess it started out as MySpace, you would see the shows.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it became like a Facebook thing where you just see, oh shit, Quinn's playing there now. Like, it, I don't know, just, you guys have always kind of been part of it. And it's cool that, like, some bands made it through all the changes of the
right.
of the scene, you know? Because it seems like there have been a lot of them that haven't, you know?
Yeah,
that
no, didn't make bands, it. Venues, everything, you know, you can't take any of it. For granted, because it all comes and goes, really. Like, I'll be moving for a little while, but I still plan on coming back and playing shows, like, a few times, you know, here and there, every few months or whatever. Just continuing work, really, you know. It's hard to not write songs in a certain way, you know?
Yeah.
Once you... And when you play with certain people after a while, you want to keep that kind of going, you know? So
keep the charisma going.
Yeah, we're gonna stick with it, really. Hopefully we'll have at least one release out this summer.
Awesome.
If not a second one. And planning on doing physical releases of those things as well. And doing some shows in town and out of town, just keeping it going, really.
Yeah, that's really, that's the biggest thing for a band, is just to keep it going.
Yeah.
Keep moving.
Yeah, we're going to do the same with Bookstore, because, I mean, we just recorded our second album.
It was a full length?
A couple months ago. Time-wise... I don't know. That's subjective. It has the number of songs. It'll fit on a 7-inch, but
oh, okay.
So
you have short songs, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's really fast, really aggressive. There's no, at our shows, there is no, like, silence. It's song, noise, songs. Yeah, it's a constant. Yeah, blow to the skull is kind of how we try to, just loud as we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Re-Rob would definitely kick you guys out.
Yeah, we could play. We can't play it a lot of places.
You can really only play at PG or a place like it. Yeah.
We played
here at least.
Here at Sortie. A few months ago.
Okay.
That was a neat show.
Who'd you play with?
Full of Hell and
I saw that.
Plasticizer, a bunch of bands are on that bill, actually.
That's Falter. Cool. How long do your sets usually run in Bookstore? Is it, you know, like...
15 minutes.
Oh, yeah, so it's pretty short.
Yeah.
And you're a three-piece, you said, right?
Yeah.
So that's cool. You don't have as much to set up and take down.
No, I don't... fuck with tuning or pedals or anything. I just, yeah, it's all just...
Oh, really?
Plug in, turn it up, really, you know, to where... You know, I don't want to blow my amp up, but, you know.
Short of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems to be how Mike does in Jangle Sheep as well. He cranks. He's got that Eddie Van Halen 5150.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess he feels like he spent the money on it. He should should crank that shit up. Yeah, that's always, I don't know, where do you guys, I guess you guys practice in your house? Because it seems like that would be a good environment for music.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I moved there, is because there have been house shows there for years and parties, kind of party house or whatever.
Cool.
And so we kind of took it over, me and Brett, so we could continue making loud music and not have a problem with it, really.
I see. So I remember whenever I did The Edge, whenever I had that job, I contacted Elsewhere Record Co., and they are in, who did I talk to?
That was probably me.
Was it you?
Probably.
Well, if it wasn't you, there's another guy. Is it, I'm going to get this wrong. Parker, is that his name? Is that his last name?
He was, helped me out there for a
while. I think I was probably contacting each of you at certain different times. But I remember I got sent a bunch of music, and, I think Small House was part of it.
Yeah.
What's going on with that? Is that still active?
Yeah, I still release things. I just put out a record a couple months ago, 7-inch. Some friends of mine from Arkansas.
Sweet.
A couple bands. It's a split 7-inch between Rad Rad Riot and a band called Head Cold.
Okay.
Awesome fucking bands. But yeah, I'm still active with that.
That's great. Is that what Quinn's stuff's going to be released on?
Yeah. Quinn, cool. All the bookstore stuff. We put out cassettes of the La Stella album. And one of the Aquarian Sun albums is on the Bandcamp as well.
Okay.
There's a band from Bowling Green called Cigarette Smoke.
Okay, I've heard of them.
Really good band. We put out their last EP this year.
That's cool. So what do you do? When you say put out, like, how do you... You mean, like, you handle physical?
Yeah, put it on the internet, on Bandcamp for streaming, push the shit, make tapes. If bands want to do a record, I'll go in on a record with them, CDs, whatever.
I see. That's pretty cool. Just help them. So it's like a partnership between you and the band, kind of?
Yeah, it's more just... I just try to help my friends put their music out, like get physical copies made so they can have them for shows, and you know,
that's great.
That's pretty much it. Promotion.
Yeah, that's great. That's like a great thing to do for music that you feel passionately about. Like you have a passionate interest in, you know, and it's your friends too. So
yeah, I mean it's kind of. I mean it started because like we couldn't find anybody to put out Quinn's music. I guess basically we didn't realize that nobody gives a shit. Like, you know, at a point, like, you're just a band. Like, you're going to have to, like, put out your own shit or whatever. So it was kind of like, why not create a little space for our music and our friends make cool shit, so let's help them. You know, it's all kind of a big community thing.
Yeah.
In a way.
I like how there are, like, some... I like how the circles, like, the musical circles of people within the Evansville music scene, like, I feel like, you know, like, the members of Stella and Quinn and Thunder Dreamer, they've all kind of, like, been in and out of bands with each other. Mm-hmm. Certain members, obviously, like, not... There are exceptions to that, but you guys have all kind of, you know... That, to me, that feels like somewhat of, like, a circle. But then there are... people in that circle who've been in bands with, you know, other guys that aren't even, or girls, who aren't even in, like, who have never been in any of those three bands, and then it's like, it just keeps expanding, and it's like this big, it ends up being this big kaleidoscope of, like, circles of people, and it's weird how they all intersect and, like, interact with one another.
It's definitely a good thing.
It is, yeah. It's a community effort, I feel like, and it's... it feels more like that now than it has in a long time, I feel like.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I'm trying to do this this podcast, actually, to try to talk to people about it and hopefully other people listen to it and, like, I don't know, come away with the same conclusion.
Yeah.
That we are kind of, I don't know, there's a lot of bands that don't get enough credit around here, I feel like that.
Sure.
I don't know, like, Casey's Time Out Lounge, if you go to that place, it's like every weekend night, it's like a cover band from who the fuck cares where, and they're just playing, it's, you're gonna hear the same songs.
And they get paid more than any local band right. will for a show.
Right.
Like, it's, yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous to me that not any more people have, like, the independent spirit that PG and places like that seem to have. It's like, if, I don't know, I feel like life would be a lot more interesting if more people embrace that. I don't know, there'd be a lot more interesting music to listen to. Not that there's not a lot now, but be even more, and even less people playing Sweet Child of Mine at Casey's every weekend. I don't know, it's just kind of funny that so, I don't know, Evansville's like the number one city for country music. I don't know if you've read that, but like corporate country music. That's why they get Kenny Chesney and different people at the Ford Center, because there's a big market for it here. Yeah. So we're kind of, I would never say we're fighting a losing battle, but I would say that there's like a lot of passive, like, we have a lot of passive adversaries, you know what I mean, in corporate country and in, like...
Yeah, it's just the demographics.
Right. Like,
you know, they're just appealing to... There's just more people. There's more old white people that don't care about what they're listening to or watching. You know, they're just entertained. You know,
right?
It's not necessarily anything they, you know, may feel like strongly about. You know, they're just like, hey, this is happening. Let's go drink $12 beers at it because our friends are going. You know,
right. It's almost like to pacify people in a way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, here, suck on this, Toby Keith. Don't think about it.
Yep.
I don't know. It's almost like people just kind of settle for the familiar.
Yeah.
They don't want to be challenged.
Yeah.
That's why I like specifically, like, when PG does the experimental open mic, that it says play something that will challenge yourself and others.
Yeah.
On the event. So it's like, we need that attitude. People need to be challenged with the music they're listening to. I don't know. I feel like a lot more people would come away with a positive feel from it if they would just show up at PG or at Sortie on a night where there's some, like, independent music going on. And I feel like more people would like it than they would think, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure you've, like, worked with people like that.
Evansville's weird. We have, like... there's so many people that just don't think about music. Like, they just hear the radio and songs and whatever. They just don't... Not much thought goes past that. They don't realize that there are bands working hard on albums or whatever, like, down the street from them, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a weird place. It's hard to make people want to listen to something. I don't know.
Yeah, it is. To garner attention, which sounds weird, but... I mean, that's kind of what you're doing. I mean, you want people to hear it.
Sure,
I mean, that's not why you're doing it necessarily, but it'd be nice if people would hear it, and, like, even if they don't like it, at least they heard it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of a... I've always seen... I don't know. I kind of got started in the Evansville music scene. Definitely later than you, but just, like, maybe 2009, I guess. The first show I played, actually, you booked me, actually, at the Internet Cafe.
Yeah.
Before I was nearly as, like, consistent as I am now. But yeah, that was, I don't know, that was my, like, first kind of, like, foray into, like, hey, there's actually people that give a shit about independent music here. Like, I'm not alone. Like,
right.
Because, you know, I went to South Spencer, so South Spencer High School in Spencer County. So it was, like, not very many people give a shit about anything that I give a shit about here.
Yeah.
Actually, Ewoki Talkie, Kyle Stallings, he went there. He went to South Spencer. And if I'm not mistaken, Andrew Burden has played at PG. I think he played once or twice there. And he's from Indianapolis now, but he went to South Spencer as well.
Yeah.
And then it's actually kind of weird how many people from South Spencer went on to, like, surprisingly went on to be part of the music scene. Andrew Beasley, you know who that is? He's the drummer in Rare Dog Days. I think they played at PG. I've had him on here once, but I went to high school with him as well. So it's kind of funny, like, just, you know, the random people that actually do keep making music, you know?
Yeah.
There's always those dudes in high school who played guitar, but then they just stopped.
Yeah.
You know? It's nice to see that people, there are a lot of people who haven't fallen off, you know, like you, and really that whole, like, circle of people that I was talking about earlier. Because some of you are like, you know, 30 and older, and you're still doing it. It's like, it's nice to see.
That's what helped me when I was, like, a young weirdo, you know, seeing all the older dudes that were still, like,
right
around doing some weird shit, you know. It, you know, makes you feel better growing into that. That's why I don't really, you know. That's one reason I like living here, is to kind of, like, there's other weirdos with the same problems as me, basically. So it's like, let's do some shit. I don't know.
There's diamonds in the rough, right, you know? Yeah. And, it's kind of like those people are like the sunny days, you know? But you have to have the rainy days of the corporate country fans to really appreciate those people.
Yeah.
So that kind of, you know, in a way, it's kind of like, you know, the overall, like, the overarching, like, musical climate here is, it sucks, but at the same time, it's like, you know what? I wouldn't appreciate how awesome Brett Seiler is if there were 100 Brett Seilers. You know what I mean? If there were a bunch of people doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Then there's not. There's one. So so it's cool. Let's see. I mean, talked about Elsewhere Record Co. and your two bands. Is there, what, like, local bands would you, what local bands would you recommend to people to listen to? Like, other than the ones we've named, like Aquarian Sun, is there anybody else that you're, I don't know, you've seen lately that, really...
I really like Brett's work with Plasticizer.
Yeah.
That's very, like, it's not like anything that's come out around here. Like, it's the most different thing I've had in my ears for a while.
That's cool.
But yeah, Stella is awesome.
Yeah.
Their last album was great. I don't really get out that much.
I have more in the last, like, few months than I have ever in my life, like, gone to. I've just been going to shows, like, pretty consistently.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of shit. Like, I've been surprised almost every time. Like, every time you go out, it's like, there's some good-ass bands. Like, I just talked to Matt Mudd earlier in the So Long Vinyls. And I mean, there are a lot of dissenters. There are a lot of people who are like, no, I don't really like them. It's like, that's fine, but you have to, like, respect that they're, sure, you know, they have this, like, original thing going on. I mean, they sound kind of like this band or kind of like that band, but you could say that about most bands.
Sure.
But, I mean, they're, I think he said they play, like, one or two covers. Like, all their shit's original.
Yeah.
It's all theirs. They have, like, a definitive sound. And that, I don't know, I respect it a lot. And now they actually have two guitars, so Matt Mudd can actually, like, just sing, and he said he felt, like, encumbered by having to play guitar and sing. which for him, I guess, would, I don't know. He's way more of a singer than I am, as far as, like, he just, he's actually, like, got all these, I don't know. He's the lead singer, too, so that makes part of it, I guess. But do you find that you're usually the vocalist in the projects that you're in?
Yeah, it's not, I don't know that there's any reason behind that, really. I played guitar in Thunder Dreamer for a while, and my electronic project, Speedwalking, has just more just become instrumental anymore. I don't know, it's not... I think it's just filling a hole, kind of. Quinn, there is, like, you know, like, I write these things, but what it, whether it comes out in music is kind of up in the air or not. It's really just kind of piecing things together. Yeah, I guess Quinn is kind of more the songwriter kind of part of whatever I do.
Yeah.
Bookstore just is more of fears and frustrations, kind of, in a way, kind of coming out.
Do you write lyrics in a notebook or in your phone? Or?
Both. If I don't have my notebook on me, yeah, I'll just jot something down in my phone. A lot of stuff for Bookstore. Like, Quinn's more wordy, and I try to, you know... I don't like doing things that bore me.
Yeah.
So I don't... you know, that's why Quinn's music is the way it is a lot of times, because I don't want to play something that's boring for me to play, and... just say dumb shit. Yeah.
I understand that, for sure.
And Bookstore is more just, like, some of the songs are repetitive. Like, there will be, like, one line just yelled throughout the whole song. Or,
yeah. You know. You can do that when songs are so short,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. So it's more, so the lyrical content reflects the aggression in the music, like, it goes with it.
In my electronic project, Speedwalking, the songs that I do, like, do vocals on, it's more like a narrative, to some extent.
Okay. It's more of a story in that. I've noticed in Quinn there's, like, some, I don't know how to put it, I guess, like, I want to say wordplay, but I don't know if that's the right... Yeah. Way to put it. It's, but you're, yeah, it's, like you said, wordy, I guess.
I like to
That's
humor
a good way.
Myself.
You like the what?
I like to humor myself.
There's more kind of, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, there's more humorous lyrics, but not, it's not like you laugh out loud necessarily, it's more of like.
Wordplay, pretty much.
Yeah, it's just like, I've always liked that in, just in music in general, but I remember thinking that when I would play it at the Edge. And I remember back when MySpace was a thing, I remember you had a bunch of songs on there as well that sounded like they were recorded maybe independently, you recorded them. Yeah. How did Quinn go from that to being, like, the full band? Like, how... I don't know. You've always been the songwriter, right? So it's always been your kind of vision, but... I remember seeing you when you had Stephen Hamilton. Well, it was that show that I opened at the Internet Cafe. And that was like, I don't know, it was just so new to hear in Evansville. Well, I mean, it was one of the first shows I attended, but it was like so cool to see that a band is actually... And then the Broderick played that as well.
Yeah.
They were the shit. Yeah. Are they still going?
Last I checked, yeah, but that was, I think it was a couple of years ago. I haven't thought about them for a while.
They were fucking awesome.
Yeah, they were a really good band.
I remember, like, being hit by that, too, because me and my buddy went out to the car after you guys got done, and we went out to the car, and got our heads right, and then came back in, and the Broderick were, like, they had just started, and it was, like, the perfect set for us to have been super baked for, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Blowing my cover on the podcast right now. That's one thing I also like about the area is, like, it seems like a lot of the venues are in at least somewhat, like, not, I don't want to say seedy, but they're not right in the middle of everything, you know? Like, PG's not really right in the middle of everything. It's over on Franklin, and it's not even on the part of Franklin that's, like, the trendy, like, Pistons part. Which, by the way, I'm just going to say this. Pistons, I do not like going there. Just personally, not a big... Have you ever been there?
Yeah, Franklin Street can burn to the ground, basically. Aside from PG.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Pistons is just like they have Sons of Anarchy shit everywhere. And it's like, if you guys are trying to purport that you're a biker bar, you can't put up Sons of... Like, bikers hate Sons of Anarchy. I don't know if you know this.
I walked past that place the other day, and I heard a Depeche Mode song I really like playing really loudly in there. I just thought that was kind of... was pretty funny.
It's a juxtaposition. Yeah. This, like, super trend bar, and... yeah. An actual good song. Yeah.
What is this?
And, so, how, I don't know, how long, I don't know where I was going with that. What do you think it will take for the music scene to be even more vibrant than it is?
Oh, okay.
What are you... curious people. Yeah. I like it, though. What was good. The question? It's good to have curious people. No, the question was, what do you think it will take for the music scene to become even, I don't know, even more connected and even more vibrant? Like, do you think, like, things like this Save Mesker thing, do you think that's good for it? Do you think it's...
To some extent. Yeah, it's nice to get everybody in one place, I guess. But it's hard to say, really. Like, I just hope everybody just keeps playing music here.
Right.
That's about it. Places like PG bringing in bands from not only, like, our region, like the tri-state, but, mm-hmm. I mean, like, Soul is coming from fucking Oakland. Like, he's on tour. Like, just pulling acts that are gonna... bring attention basically helps.
Right.
You know, and it helps when you get a bigger bill like that to throw locals on that don't always get a chance to do whatever, you know. It's exposing everybody to these things. And really, bands, you can live wherever and play shows in that town.
Right.
You really gotta get out of town to, like, do much of anything anymore, you know. You're gonna have to tour, you have to put in work and do all these things. And if bands start doing that here more often, I feel like it'll help. It'll help other people have some faith that, you know, they can do some shit like that here, and more people will try to do things. Like, when I was a young turd, I was, like, a huge Mock Orange fan. Their first couple albums really, like, made an impression on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was awesome that some band from here, like, travels the fucking world and, like, books these huge shows. And it's like, wow, right. They live down the street. Like, you can really do anything from wherever you are, you know? It's not a matter of, like, moving to a big city and, like, getting exposure there and hitting a big ticket or something. Yeah, it's all just, like, your own determination, I think.
Right.
People just need to work more towards whatever it is that they want to happen.
People just generally seem to feel really entitled to, you know,
anymore. That ruins a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. That ruins my opinion of bands, like, in town. Like, there are just... There's a handful of bands that are like, I don't mind. Like, if your band, if I'm not entertained by your show or whatever, that's fine. But if you're also a prick, like, I'm not going to want to have anything to do with what you... I don't know. Like, it's...
No, I know what you mean.
People don't realize sometimes, like, that they're doing something, like, they're like, whatever. I don't... People can really damage their reputation around here. I've seen it happen a lot. Just people just doing the totally wrong thing. And then they're like, why does everybody hate me? And it's like, well, don't be a dick. Like, that's... I don't know. It seems to be a common problem around here. Like, people... I don't know. I'm a dick. Like, I hate... Like, I just... A lot of stuff bores me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, a lot of... It's... Yeah.
I know what you mean in that way, like, a lot of stuff bores me, too. Like, it's gotta be somewhat fresh. There's gotta be something fresh about it if I'm seeing a band. Like, it's gotta be something... Even if it's just fresh for me, maybe it's not fresh for everybody else. Maybe everybody else has heard it, but... You know, I don't know. It's like a... It's a funny... thing about this scene, like, people having a sense of entitlement that, well, we're the... It's almost like a lot of bands just think they're the best band around here, you know? And it's like, why do we even need that? Why does anybody have to be the best band? Yeah. Like, it's all subjective anyway. So, you know, you go up to 10 people at a show and ask them, after the show, and ask them who was the best, and unless there was, like, sound... You know, unless, like, something went terribly wrong in one of the sets, you're going to get different answers from those 10 people, you know?
Yeah.
So it's pretty arbitrary, and people don't realize a lot of times when they're...
Yeah.
When things are arbitrary and they're assigning, you know...
It's not a competition.
Right.
Know? There's... Which is a problem with, like, venues around here, and, like, just things you would think wouldn't be that way. I don't want to go further, and, like, my examples are pretty specific.
Oh, yeah, you can't, like, yeah.
Fuck these people.
Yeah, you can't not.
But, like, I don't want to, you know,
Well, you don't have to name names, you can just say, like, if, you know,
I don't,
theoretically.
I mean, no, honestly, it's, there's a guy behind a lot of my qualms with this fucking place. Like, I've always had a poor taste in my mouth about News For You.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just because it just promotes just bullshit. Like, it's all, like, who can pay for this much space in my magazine? And then, like, here's these shitty bars like Pistons and everything promoting all these things that aren't... And it's hard to say anything isn't worth a shit, but it's not, like, art. There aren't people aren't putting in the same effort. They're, like, learning fucking Metallica songs and mm-hmm. Nickelback covers so they can make, like, a couple hundred bucks in the night and not have to, like, you know, get their fucking free beer or whatever.
Yeah.
When there's people actually, like, writing and working on things. And, like, I took over Penny Lane, and now there's this weird, like... He makes it out to be this competitive thing between him and PG when it totally doesn't have to be. Like, they're on different sides of town, almost close mm-hmm. enough to where it's not going to affect either of their business.
Right.
It's and they're, you know, they've total different crowds that they appeal to. You know, mm-hmm. it's not everything needs to be competition, and they have the same problem with Lamasco too. Like they.
PG does?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, you know, it's the owner of an establishment thinking that something else is going to harm their business when it's really not, you know?
Yeah, those are two totally different
like, yeah,
they're, crowds.
You know, trying to, and they actually teamed up with fucking Penny Lane. Now they serve Penny Lane coffee in Lamasco's now.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to push PG out of existence.
Huh.
It's a really shitty, dirty... game they're doing there, and like Todd doesn't give a fuck. Like nobody should why behave like that? You know, it's a big enough place to where everyone can exist. You don't right. have to make things a competition. There's no, like, you know, you're not on the fucking Apprentice or something. You know?
Right.
You don't need to push whatever, you know.
Yeah, that is weird. I don't know why any, and I guess it is, yeah, the venues have a sense of entitlement too, to a crowd. And I mean, anybody who runs a venue should, I mean, I get that to an extent, but not to where you're pushing the community feel out of it, you know, not to where it goes past that. Like, there should always be a sense of community rather than a sense of entitlement.
Yeah. No, that's what's happening. It kind of sucks. And that for a while, suck. Like, PG, we couldn't put flyers up certain places. Like, the people will let us put flyers up now, and I love that place, all those people and everything.
Yeah.
But, like, when I first started trying to, like, put flyers up there, they were like, no.
Really?
Because, like, they serve beer, PG, and people's bar, you know, they want to drive their business to somewhere else because they have, like, a band playing or something, you know. And it's worked out because PG closes and people still open, and a lot of people just wander over to the people, you know.
Really?
Like, if, I don't know, it's, yeah.
That's pretty cool. That works out.
Yeah, if people just realize they could work together on these things instead of being like, oh no, a place across the street from me that serves the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh fuck, what are we gonna do?
Why don't we collaborate rather than,
yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of how, when I've come to shows here at Sortie, since there's no alcohol served, it's like, it's not really a problem because you can just run down to Peephole and yeah. down a beer between bands and then come back. It's like, why is it a problem?
Yeah.
Like, people make it out to be a problem, I think, more than...
capitalism.
Right.
Like, I just want all the fucking business.
You know, yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... yeah. There's a lot of Bernie events coming up, actually. I don't know.
Yeah, I noticed
that. Get into that. But
yeah.
There are a lot of Bernie events coming up. I kind of like seeing that even such a red place as this is, like,
yeah.
we can still manage to put on Bernie shows. There's one at PG, actually.
Yeah.
Right? The 21st, I want to say.
I think so.
And then there's one at Toast over by Mesker on the 29th that Jangle Sheep's playing. Jangle Sheep, So Long Vinyls, and Bass Dinner are playing. That's going to be fun. Should be a pretty good show. And then I'm actually that same weekend, I'm who is it? It's Reverend Horton Heat, Nashville Pussy, and Unknown Henson are playing in Indianapolis. And so I'm going to go to that show. And on the way up there, I'm going to stop at this Bernie rally in Greensburg, and I'm going to play a couple songs.
Mm-hmm.
I actually learned Neil Young's Alabama, but I changed it to Indiana. I know that's gimmicky as fuck, but I was like, if I'm going to play a Bernie rally, like, I'm gonna learn something for it that's
sure.
super political. And it fits, too, as far as, like, Indiana just signing the abortion bill and,
yeah.
you know, fucking Mike Pence.
Yeah.
That fucking douche. Have you seen the Periods for Pence thing where women are calling his office and telling him about their period, or telling his staff about their periods?
Good.
Because they're like, well, it seems like you want to know. It seems like you're interested, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I love that shit.
Yeah.
I'm glad the internet birthed all that, like, this troll culture.
Yeah.
I think it's funny.
It's great. I had an idea. I still might act on it. But starting a hotline for people that support Trump, and then when they call and, you know, try to show their support, I'll be like, hey, you should just jump off a bridge, or maybe set all of your children on fire and then try to put it out with your urine, and you can't, so you just watch them burn to death, and then you go to jail.
You
know,
pretty
stuff
good.
Like that.
Just have some canned lines, like,
yeah.
ready. Yeah, yeah. That's good. No, that's good. Should set up one for Cruz as well.
Yeah.
I think it's funny. You see it on, like, Facebook. I don't know. I don't know if you've cleaned your Facebook up like a lot of people have, but I haven't. I should. But I still have, like, a lot of the people from my hometown and shit that, you know, are Trump right. supporters. Or it's really a lot of anti-Bernie shit, and it's always, like, you know, talking just to a Bernie voter about economics, and it's a guy, like, frustrated at a brick wall or something. It's like, yeah, the fact that the memes you make are so simple and so, like, it's the simplest, most hackneyed joke, like... That speaks volumes. Like, that basically says to right. me, you don't have a point. Like, you... I don't know. I don't know. I just think it's funny when people get made fun of. Like, I don't know. That's just...
Yeah.
And I think it's... When it's a legitimate point, and it's like, really? Like, you're gonna support this guy. And the Trump hotline's a good idea.
Yeah.
How do you go about setting up a hotline like that?
Start a web page and put my phone number on it.
Oh, okay.
I don't know really.
So you're just going to answer your cell phone.
I'm just going to answer my phone and be like, fuck you, die. Sorry, Mom, I didn't mean that.
Yeah. I should have screened this call,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah,
that's great. No, that's a good idea. Should do that. I'm glad to see that there's so many Bernie supporters around here. That's kind of that's refreshing. And really, even Hillary supporters, like, it's still, I don't know. I guess that's more obvious, though, that there are going to be some of those yeah. around. Did you see the thing, which we should probably wind this down pretty soon. Did you see the thing where, is it Gloria Steinem and what's the other old feminist?
George
Madeleine
Bush.
Albright. What?
George Bush.
Madeleine Albright, how they were on a town hall, or they were in a town hall. Thing and they're obviously Hillary Clinton supporters because they're going to die soon and they want to see a woman in the White House.
Right.
So they're selfish and they're yeah. anyway. So they support her and they asked like during the Q&A segment, one of the audience members asked why they think all these young women are supporting Bernie, and they were like, well, they're just going along with the guys who support Bernie. And it's like, really? These two like feminist like legends
right.
are saying the most like one of the most unfeminist things you can say. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's like Bernie's just like throwing the whole game off. Pretty great. I don't know. I'm a supporter yeah. mostly because he's the best option. I mean, like, none of the other options are any good. He is at least somewhat good from where I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
He's got some big ideas that probably won't happen, but at least Trump won't be president.
Yeah, he might. I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like all my... Like, every musician I talk to is a Bernie supporter. Like, Jake Tapley, I remember asking him about it. All the dudes in the Jangle Sheep. Adam from Itter. Like, just a bunch of people. Pretty much all the musicians I know are... for Bernie, so it makes me think maybe I'm on the right track
yeah.
with supporting him.
Yeah.
You never know, you right. know. You never know what if their promises are going to turn into real things whenever they're actually president, but such is our political system.
Sure.
It kind of sucks, but I don't know. Maybe this will be a step in the right direction. I don't know. That's kind of all pretty convoluted anyway. I'm just trying to focus on getting people out to shows and
right.
making all that happen. Well, thanks for doing this, man. Quinn, I know, is on Bandcamp, and I'm sure yeah. I know Elsewhere Record Co. is as well.
Mm-hmm.
So where else can your stuff be found?
I'm sorry. Wandering in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Somebody.
Yeah, the curiosity.
Yeah.
I like that there's curious people, though. That's nice. What other platforms can your stuff be found on online?
I mean, there's Facebook pages for everything. For
okay.
Elsewhere Record Co., Bookstore, mm-hmm. Quinn. Elsewhere Record Co. Bandcamp has all the releases on it that
okay.
I'm involved with and friends of mine.
That's cool.
Stella, Aquarian Sun, One Step.
Right. Awesome.
Like that.
Well, thanks again, and hopefully, if you're listening to this, go check that shit out.
Yeah.
All right.